David Beer is going to be coming out and joining us for this Q&A here. David, why don't you come on out? From Rolling Stone magazine. Interview Mr. Burt Reynolds from Rolling Stone magazine. It is with great, we're just getting a little few little things ready again. Another part of this is our annual Golden Key Award that we give. Past recipients have included Paul Verhoeven, Alan Cumming, Marielle Hemingway, and as you see here, we couldn't be more excited to be giving a Golden Key to the legendary Mr. Burt Reynolds. Go with that. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burt Reynolds, the legendary Mr. Burt Reynolds.
My friend Todd, who works for me. And if you want anything, I'll steal it for you.
Those charges were never proven.
Yes, sir.
So I'd just like to make a quick announcement. First of all, the film we just saw, I was, you know, I don't know what my expectations were, but I was blown away, so I don't know if there could be a better tribute to kind of his accomplishments, but so I'll say kind of for the record, as a Florida Gator, it pains me very, very much to say this.
But that's right, we all make mistakes.
That's exactly correct. I'm sorry, my kids are here. I'm pretty fucking sure the coolest man alive is a Florida State Seminole. I'm happy to present this award to Mr. Reynolds, a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Key West Film Festival for all his amazing accomplishments and achievements over the years. So thank you very much for being here, Bert. It means a lot to us.
Things that I did in films and falling off of things and crashing and burning and stuff.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
Well, that was a year of stupidity. That was about 25 years of stupidity. I did all my own stunts and I thought I could do them. And I did do them, but it's just the ending sometimes.
You realize that you can get killed doing your own stunts, right?
I came very close a couple of times, but I told the guy in the chopper or the plane or whatever it was at the time, I said, just remember it's going to say Burt Reynolds and unknown pilot.
Gosh, I've been researching this interview for about 35 years now. So I'm not sure where to start, but I'll start this because I was a big Burt Reynolds fan growing up. I'd seen a bunch of your movies.
I happened to stumble across a Burt Reynolds movie one day on TV that I hadn't seen. I was like, oh, guy, couple of friends, going up a river. You know, I was 9 years old, I'm sure it's just going to be like Smokey and the Bandit, but on a river. Yeah. So, let's start with Deliverance. It was interesting to hear you talk about that in the documentary, because you said that was your deliverance from bad movies. When you started making this movie, did you guys realize you were onto something special? You were going to be onto something that really has stood the test of time?
Well, we all knew that it was a dangerous film to make, and it was going to be very controversial, and it was. And my friend John Voight gave it class, you know, that we didn't have. But it was his first film. What was it, John's first film? It was Ron Cox's first film, and Ned Beatty's first film. And so, is that music? Get off.
I was told the UFOs might be showing up tonight. They're fans as well, not just on this earth.
Yeah. But I had a lot of fun making that film because it ended up being. We did everything chronologically in the picture, which is not done very often. And we had to do it in case somebody drowned. And they would say, old Bert died yesterday. And he was a good old boy. But we did everything ourselves. And it was kind of an extraordinary experience.
You know, it's something you really get. You're reminded of when you're watching this movie and seeing a lot of your work that this is a pre-CGI era. Like, this is actual people doing actual stunts, putting their actual bodies on the line here. It feels like no one does it anymore.
Well, they do it, but they've gotten some brains. You know, they stopped doing the things that I was doing just out of total stupidity and trying to be macho, and it just didn't make any sense why I did them. And I've broken everything. I've broken about 30 some bones, and it's not smart, you know, and you don't get any prettier.
So let's go back to the early days, just really briefly, because you'd said that John Borman had not seen you, John Borman, the director of Deliverance, had not seen you in any films, but he had seen your TV show appearances, like seen you on talk shows and stuff, and saw that you were charismatic and funny and, you know, could hold the screen. So you juxtapose that against the Twilight Zone episode of you doing a kind of Brando parody. At what point did you figure out that you didn't need to be doing Brando, you just needed to be doing Burt Reynolds, and that was going to pay off?
Well, I think when I learned that there was a hitman out for me from Brando.
Brando put a price on
him. He was a little.
Yeah, that will do it. I was watching the clip thing. I remind that you were in not one but two of the single best football movies ever made. Because it's The Longest Yard and Semi-Tough. Make sure I answer that trivia question for you guys. When you were making those movies, was it easier for you because of your background in college athletics? Did you find it a little bit harder because you're like, oh, now I still have to act, and now I'm going to be running down here doing this, doing that?
It was easier, and I loved doing it. The first one, I was crazy about doing that. And after that, it kind of fell apart for me because I don't think we lived up to the promise of that material. But the first one was good, and Nitschke, Ray Nitschke, if you're not familiar with a guy named Ray Nitschke, he played for the Green Bay Packers. He was a linebacker, and he was a killer. He was a stone killer. And he used to just look for me. Didn't matter whether I was not in the play or not. If I'd already hit the ball, he would hit me so hard. I was looking out the ear hole, you know. And I told him, I said, "Ray, it's just the movie. Just lighten up a little bit." And he went, "Why?" And I couldn't finish my answer.
Why do you think that you and Hal Needham hit it off so well from the get-go?
Well, Hal was the best stuntman in the world. He was the highest paid stuntman in the world, and he should have been. And he called me once and he said, I'm having a problem with my marriage. I don't think it's going to work out. And I was wondering if I could spend a couple of days at your house. And I said, "Of course you can. Come over." 7 months later, it was still there. And I said, "Hal, you know, I love you, but we're either going to have to get married or we're going to have to work it out some kind of payment thing." And he never did work that out, but he came up with a script that he wrote and he handed it to me, and it was called Smoking and Abandoned. And I said, "Hal, this is the worst script I've ever read in my life." And he said, "Yeah, but will you do it?" And I said, "Sure, I will." The judge and mother, right?
Yeah.
Some people, you know, and he said, "What people?" I said, "Jackie Gleason."
Yeah.
And Sally Field. And Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed.
Wasn't Jerry great?
He's so good at this, yeah.
And it was a very, very successful film, and I had so much fun, they had so much fun, and Lisa was amazing. I never studied my lines because he never said his lines. I never knew what he was going to say. So I just, whenever he stopped talking, I would fill something in. You know? But he's the most amazing man. He was from that old vaudeville school that just can do anything and say anything. He could dance, sing, and wow, what could he act? And so he taught me an awful lot, just being around him. And we became just great, great friends.
You know, Hal Needham's ex-girlfriend in this movie points out that you could tell from those first few scenes they filmed of you and Sally Field that there was a chemistry going on. Did you feel it right away that you guys were not only going to be a good screen double act, but that, you know, maybe, just maybe, there were a couple of sparks brewing there?
Oh, yeah. He was amazing. Everybody said, "I don't get it. I mean, it's Gidget. But I'm not. And how is it going to be sexy?" And I said, "She is so damn good that it'll be sexy. And she just, we're so lucky to have her." And, well, it turned out that way. I mean, couldn't have done a picture without it.
I'm actually surprised you guys didn't do more pictures. You could have been like the Nick and Nora of the
Well, we did four pictures together. And I was thinking, you know, if we don't stop doing this, we're going to ruin her career.
That's very generous of you. I just have to ask, because you, I think the record still holds. You were the number one movie star in the country for 5 years consecutively.
really lucky. I had films that, I don't know why, but they loved them in Europe, they loved them everywhere. And, they were crazy and fun. I think, you know, humor is humor. If you're funny, you're funny everywhere. And they, the public over there, and I say over there in England and Europe, all over Europe, and then it got to Japan, and I didn't realize the power of the motion picture, and I went over there, you know, just a kind of personal appearance thing. And they couldn't get me from one place to another. I mean, it just was amazing. And it was all about movies.
I think you hit upon something about saying that comedy is sort of universal. I mean, if you take a film and take Gone with the Wind and bring it to a foreign country, and she goes, by God, I'll never go hungry again, it may not translate. But if you've got, say, a charming guy in a cowboy hat that is in a Trans Am and looks to the camera and goes like that...
There you go.
Universal language, sir.
Well, when I did that, when I looked at the camera, Hal said, cut. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, you can't break that wall, you know, between you and, you know, I mean, your people will know it's a movie. I said, Hal, I think when they paid the $2, I think they all had a good time judging by the reaction. And I don't know what you're worried about. And, you know, that's been kind of the signature of the Bandit. He doesn't give a damn about rules. You know, he's having fun.
I think that's why the character holds up. That's why he's iconic.
Yeah. In a way, he is. I did a film called Starting Over that I thought was the best film I ever did. And I thought, well, that's my ticket, you know, out of breaking my bones. And it didn't do well. It did good, but not great. Whereas Smokey broke every record there was.
It was a huge hit.
And I don't get it, but I'm not going to bitch about it.
Well, I mean, this brings up an interesting question, because you talk about how, you talk in the documentary about how you realized early on that you had to give up on what you call, and I just can't say this phrase enough, the constipated school of acting. And, you know, realize that you had something else to give here. But when I think of some of my favorite Burt Reynolds performances, I'm glad you brought up Starting Over, because I love that movie, or Sharky's Machine, which I love dearly, or, you know, the role in Boogie Nights. I think like, that's an actor. Like, that's not just a movie star up there. That's a person who's, he understands the craft of acting. And I'm wondering, do you feel like that a lot of times people have given you short shrift as an actor because you are such a, the dictionary definition of a movie star?
Well, if you do comedy, which I love doing, and with the people that I did it with, it's hard to get them to recognize you as an actor. And, but I after a while, I didn't care. I just wanted to entertain, and that's my job. My job is for you to go to a place like this and sit down and forget about how drunk your old man got last night, and how much he wishes that everybody would behave in the family or whatever. And it's about entertainment. It's not a, it, you know, if you want a message, then you go to Western Union.
Yeah. you know, you've been lucky to be paired with a bunch of amazing partners up on screen. I'm just curious if you've got a favorite. I mean, I know when I come to, I think of like you and Chris Christopherson. I think of you and Dom DeLuise, of course. You know, you and Sally Field. Like, you have any favorites? Any favorites that jump out at you?
Sally. I never worked with anybody that good before or since. And I think she had a lot of trepidation about working with me and doing pictures and all that, but she ended up having a good time, and we fell in love, you know, real quick.
You guys brought out good stuff at each other on screen.
I think so. I'd like to think so. And I you know, I still get one of those when I see her, you know?
I don't know if everybody realizes this, but you're still working, right? You're still making movies, right?
Well, I don't think a lot of them do. I mean, last night I had two really nice people with me, and they said, how long are you going to be retired? And I said, well, I haven't retired. I've got two movies coming out soon, and I'm doing two more right away. When are the
first? Apple of My Eye will be out in January.
Apple of My Eye. And that's a sweet... I told my agent, look, I want to do a picture that kids can go see, and they'll like it, and it'll be, you know, sweet. And so we got this script that instead of... This girl was blind, and she was a wonderful actress, and but she said, I can't work with dogs. And I said, okay, we'll get a short actor. And she said, no, I can't work with somebody like that. I know it has to be an animal, but it can't be a guide dog. And so I said, how about a guide horse? She said, what? And so I got a horse. It was a, you know, a little horse. And it was the sweetest horse you've ever... They just fell in love. And it's a sweet little picture. I mean, it's not going to break any records or anything, but it's really sweet. It's great for the kids. It accomplished what I wanted to do with a big picture like that. And then I made another one right after that. What was that?
Shadow Fighter.
Shadow Fighter.
Right,
yeah.
That's for the boxing coach.
And I was a boxing coach that had been a fighter and was now coaching. And that was fun to do.
I just got one last question before I open this up to the audience for your questions. When Jesse Moss came and approached you about doing this, what made you say yes?
To do
the Bandit.
I just saw something in that guy, in the Bandit, that I liked, that appealed to the...
Gustav.
Yes. Absolutely. I liked him. I thought he was crazy and fun, and inside of him, there was a lot of heart. So I don't know whether I was right or wrong, but it did well, and I'm still working.
All right, who in the audience has got some questions here for Mr. Reynolds? Go right ahead.
You had it do all over again, Time Machine back there in 82.
Yes, sir.
Would you still blow off doing Terms of Endearment?
Did everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, he asked if he had a time machine, he could go back, would he still say no to playing Jack Nicholson's part in Terms of Endearment?
I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. But that's pretty hard to top, that one. I'll do it.
There's a microphone over there. Yep. Come on up to the mic.
Bert, I've watched you all my life. Are you going to be at the reception tonight?
Are you going to be? You've got a big guy sitting next to you. Well, I'm sure you're thinking a lot more about it now than I was. Well, she's notorious for making people cry.
Yes.
And I think that's what she had in mind. And I said, I told the people that I was with, I said, I don't care what she asked me, I'm not going to cry. It took her about 15 minutes and I was crying. I just told the truth, but it got to me, you know. She knew how to do it. She's a pro. And a couple other things.
The gentleman back there. Nope.
Are you still active in your dinner theater?
Yes, I am. Every Friday night, I have classes. And the students are from 18 to 88. And, we have a wonderful time, and I would put those people up against anybody. I think they're really wonderful. The problem with Florida has always been, and I don't know if you know this, but the governors of this state have not got it about baby boomers. And they've turned down tickets that were made for 10 million or 20 million or 12 million or whatever. And it all goes to the state. And I just didn't get it. I couldn't stand it. After a while, made me so angry that I went to Georgia. I made 7 pictures in Georgia. And some of them were pretty darn good.
And now Georgia has a film industry.
It does.
Yep.
It does.
Perhaps there's a lesson to be learned there. I think we have time for 2 more questions. Sir, right there.
My father was the chief of police, so we had our ups and downs about my career, and he said to me, I remember one day, he said, are you ever going to play a guy who's not arrested? And I said, yes sir, I am. I'm working on that right now. And I loved him so much. He was quite a man, but he was the chief. And he had to do his duty. So he threw me in jail and for fighting. And every guy that he arrested, especially the drunks, he threw on top of him. And I was there for 3 days, 3 nights. And after that, he came down and sat down opposite me. And he said, have you learned anything? And I said, yes, sir. I don't want to get arrested again. And I'm going to behave. And he said, you know, if you don't behave, that next time I won't be as lenient. I thought that he'd take this as a lenient.
Mr. Reynolds, welcome to Key West.
Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure to have you back. I've been working with these guys, these characters over here. Brooke, Quincy Perkins, of course, Michael Tuckman. What a beautiful film festival.
Yes.
I got to say, sir, you're the shining glory of the whole week, right there, just being here. I'm the sound man from hell, and I got a question for you.
All right.
So the governors, over and over, just, for lack of a better term, cock block the film industry. Do you realize we're in the Conk Republic, and we're not part of that mainland? Why not make the Conk Republic the next big film industry? The weather's good all year.
I agree with you. If it was easy to get a picture made, but it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
They're not made for $25. They're made for $25 million. And I had a hard, hard time convincing. I remember, what was the guy's name?
Lawton Childs.
Yeah. Well, he was one of them. There was another one. It started with an A.
Askew.
Yeah, Askew said, "I don't like your movie." And he said, we don't want that kind of movie here in Florida.
It was a long yard.
Yeah. And it was a long yard. And so I said, okay. And I said, there was an election coming up. And the next governor was a guy named Jimmy Carter, who was the classiest, nicest man. And I said to Jimmy about the money that we were going to spend in Georgia. And he said, "I'll fix it." And he said, "You're going to do it in a prison?" I said, "If you can help me." And he said, "I can help you." And he did. He fixed it. And it was amazing. I see my makeup lady. Is that your doctor husband? Well, I don't see my makeup.
I think we got time for one more question, and that's going to be a night. And to you, sir, right back there.
Nope. First off, thanks so much for joining us. This has been so insightful to get to know you.
Thank you.
And I think that inspires the next question, which is, you've referred to it a couple times that you feel your responsibility is to entertain. I'm curious, what triggered that in you as an actor? Because I feel like a lot of actors, when they're on screen, they're trying to be somebody else, yet it seems like you totally incorporated who Burt Reynolds is. We're seeing you right now, and it's amazing. Is that you just evolving, or was that your agent, or gave you that nudge to do it? It's phenomenal.
You're what's got the guy in the head of a blue jacket?
Let's come to Thanksgiving dinner next week.
Well, I don't know. I was lost. I'd gotten hurt playing football. I thought that was what I was going to do, be a pro ball player. And I was pretty good, but I don't think I would have been good enough anyway. But I thought I was going to be good enough. And I've been so lucky in my life. Always been so lucky. I thought I'd get lucky again and play pro ball someday. But it was back in the 50s, and you know, wasn't that easy then. It ain't easy now, but it really wasn't easy then. So I walked as far away from the athletic department on campus as I could go, and I ended up at the theater department. And I looked around, and there was a lot of guys kind of lighting the loafers. And a lot of girls that were gorgeous. And I said, "I think I found another profession."
On behalf of the festival, I want to thank all you guys for coming, and I want to give a special thank you to this man right here. Bert Reynolds.
Behave yourself, be careful. Remember that.
There you go.
And a lot of people love it, okay? Okay. Thank you.